Thank you, Alex. So this morning I want to talk to you about hope, but not just any hope, anchored hope. And Charlene did a very good job with the children's talk. Thank you, Charlene. Last year, December, I took my family to the Western Cape for a holiday. And one day we thought it would be a good idea to drive around the area and just to see what we could get up to. Because we're still young, we want to do things. And so we came across this little place, I can't even remember the town's name, where there was a lagoon. And there were boats to rent. And being very young and adventurous, with our two children, my wife and I decided that we're going to get in a boat and we're going to just put out the vibe on the lagoon. And we didn't really notice that there weren't a lot of people on the lagoon that day. But anyway, we paid the money. They gave us life jackets, which is always kind of nerve-wracking when they hand out life jackets. I'm being a strong man, thought I don't really need this, but I'll put it on anyway. Suited my wife and two children up, got into the boat, and the guy who helped us just pushed us away. Didn't take long for us to realize we were in trouble. That it's not as easy as you would think to get on a boat on the lagoon. The wind was blowing like crazy that day. I mean, really, we couldn't control this boat, and the water and the wind just started taking us into a direction, and it wasn't a good direction either. And I could see the panic on my wife's face. Man, she was worried. I was not worried at all. I knew I would conquer. My kids weren't sure who to believe, mom or dad. And at one point, my wife's eyes teared up, and I could see, okay, this is really getting serious. And I'm rowing like a madman, trying to get us away from, it wanted to take us into these reeds. And Yersha is like, there's crocodiles in there. And to make a long story short, eventually we learned how this works. And with a lot of effort, we got out of there. I've never been so happy to touch soil with my feet than that day. And if we only had an anchor, if I only had an anchor that I could throw out and that will keep my little boat and my little family safe and stabilized. And life is like that. Have you ever hoped that you had an anchor, that life is just taking you by your shirt and pulling you wherever it wants you to go? And you feel hopeless and you feel like there's no hope. And maybe you feel like, I'm lost. I need help. And this sermon today is for everybody, I think. It's for those who are on the rough seas, for those who are really facing great difficulties. This message is for you because I want you to know today that you have an anchor. This message is also for those who are in calm water. Because you know that it's not just in rough seas that you need an anchor. In calm waters as well. Because you know what happens when you're in calm water? You're not worried. You don't really pay attention where the streams are taking you. And before you know it, you end up in a place that you didn't even notice you were in. And you're in a mess. So we all need anchors. Now, I don't have 5 steps of how to change your life or 10 secrets to happiness. I have the Word of God. And today I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to read together Hebrews 6 verse 13 to 20. If you can go there in your Bible, on your app, or there is a pew Bible in front of you, you're welcome to go there and we'll read this passage together. That's Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchanging character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, what is this all about? I've got two main points. The first main point is what God desires for you. What God desires for you. We see in this passage that there's a promise that has been made to Abraham. And Abraham received this promise, and then we read in verse 15, and Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. So a promise was made to Abraham, and he saw that come to the fore. Abraham was 75 years old when God made this promise to him, 75. Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Now for you, for those of you who are not great at maths, let me help you. He waited 25 years for God to fulfill that promise. 25 years. That's why the Bible calls him patient. Now was Abraham perfect in his patience? No. He wasn't patient all the time, which is a great encouragement to you and I. So when the Bible calls him patient, it does not mean that Abraham always knew. Every day he woke up, he's like, yes, I know God gave me this promise, I know. Because Abraham tried to make plans along the way, didn't he? You were not to mention the name Ishmael. As a reminder that Abraham wasn't perfect in his patience, but he was always trusting in God. He had bad days, but his faith was sustainable, and he held on to this promise God gave him, and he saw his little son Isaac being born. And when the next son of the covenant, Jacob, was 15, Abraham passed away. And he saw a little bit of what God was doing, but he never lived to see the rest of that promise coming into fulfillment. He never saw Jesus. There's a promise here. The promise was made by an oath, and I think the writer of Hebrews wants to just underline that to make sure that we understand that this is true, that this is firm, that this is of God. You know, I remember as a kid, someone would ask you something, you said, I promise. They tell you it's a lie. You say, no, I promise. I promise. I lay my hand on the Bible. That's wrong. Little children, don't do that. The Bible says your yes is your yes, your yes is your yes, and your no is your no. But in biblical times, the promises were made and they were sealed by an oath to God, most of the time. God will help me, I am telling the truth. Well, humans swear by God, but God can't swear by anything else because he's the greatest out there. God is the ultimate power of the universe. He's the most valuable reality in this universe. No one is greater than God, and therefore God cannot swear by anything other than himself. And God can't lie, because he's holy and perfect. So this promise was made, sealed with an oath. He's trying to tell you this is true. He's trying to tell you and me today, you can believe this, because this is what God himself did. He promised and he sealed it by an oath. The promise God made to Abraham transcends the centuries. And it is in Christ as relevant today as it was back then. It's as relevant today. What is interesting, what I love about this passage, is that God has a desire for you. God has a desire for you to know that he brings hope. He has the desire for you to know more about him. So many people don't know what God wants for their lives. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise, who's that? The heirs of the promise. That's us, isn't it? So God wanted to show you and me that his desire is to show us and to convince us of what? The unchangeable character of his purpose. God has a purpose. He had a big purpose when he created Adam and Eve. He had a purpose when he created Abraham. And he has a purpose for your life. He's been guiding history from Genesis, and he will complete it in Revelation. He has a purpose. And he wants you to know that. His desire is for you to know that he has a plan with history, but not only history, with your life. Second point I want to focus a bit more on is Jesus equals hope. Jesus equals hope. Now, there are three kinds of hopes we find. The first kind of hope is an emotional hope. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. It's my wedding. I hope it doesn't rain. I hear that a lot from people. The expectation is not certain. There's no certainty here. It's just a feeling. It's like Manchester United fans. It's such a terrible word. I don't want like to say it often. When they hope their team will win, you can't bank on it. It's not realistic. It's an expectation that's not certain. Sorry, I'm a Liverpool fan, so it's our time. The second kind of hope is a hope that's connected to a future reality. It's an objective reality we long for. And this is secure. Heaven is my hope. I know for sure that heaven exists and I am going there if I am a Christian. The third kind of hope is the kind of hope a person or event gives or brings. For instance, Jesus is my only hope for getting into heaven. Now, Lionel Messi is a great soccer player. He plays for Barcelona. And, you know, to explain this a little bit better, the fans and the people, the players of Barcelona, they have a hope to win, a hope for victory. The fans feel it. And they feel they can get there because Messi is a factor in their team. Because Messi is here, at least we have a chance to win. He gives us hope. If Messi is not playing, we have less hope. In this passage, we find the two kinds of hopes. The first we find is hope connected to the future reality and objective reality we long for. Verse 18 and 19. When we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Hope set before us. What is that? That's heaven. That's one day. Second kind of hope is the hope found in a person. Verse 20. Or let's go to the middle of verse 19. A hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as forerunner on our behalf. Two kinds of hope. Jesus brings hope. Jesus is hope. Without Jesus, there is no heaven. Without Jesus, there is no hope. So let's unpack this hope a little bit more, and let's have a closer look, because I want you to get this today. It's important. I really want you to get this. The writer of Hebrews uses two illustrations to help us understand what he wants us to see in this passage. Two illustrations. And he wants us to first be strongly encouraged. To be encouraged. He wants to encourage you today. If you're a Christian, be encouraged. And he also wants you to know that we have a sure and steadfast anchor. It's sure, it's steadfast, it's not going anywhere. And so the first illustration is that of an anchor. A few years ago, this is probably 13 years ago now, probably 15 years ago, a friend and myself was in Hermanus, and we decided that we want to go on a boat and see if we can catch any fish in the deeper end of part of the sea. And we got there the day, and it was just a kind of a cloudy, stormy day, and the two older gentlemen that we paid money to take us out said, probably not the best day to go out. Do you want to go out? And we said, no, definitely. We only have one day. We have to go out today. And they agreed, and we left the harbor. And as soon as we hit the sea, I thought, sure, these waves are massive. And we went to this one spot, not too far. I could still see land. I could still see the land. Otherwise, I would get nervous. And my friend and I were feeling a bit off. You know, have you ever been on a boat in the sea? It's kind of, you know, I remember the swells being higher than we were. So I would look up and there's a mountain of water this side. And then it will go down and we will go up. And as the boat trolled, it was bad. But the moment we dropped anchor, things were better. We weren't being thrown around by the waves anymore. We were secured. And I caught a lot of fish that day, by the way. But if we didn't have an anchor, it'll be impossible to do anything. Because the sea is a powerful force. Even the biggest ships in the world have anchors. Because water will do with you whatever it wants. So we need an anchor. The second illustration he uses is the temple. A hope that enters into the inner place beyond the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Remember the Holy of Holies in the temple? It was the place that no one could enter. Only the high priest could go in there once a year, once a year. A high priest could go in there, and it'll be they called it a day of atonement. And he would make sacrifice for the sins of the nation. But when Jesus died on the cross, can you remember what happened? That veil, that curtain tore from top to bottom, symbolizing that God has made a way for us to enter into His presence. Because before Jesus, people had this image in their minds that God was unapproachable. Only the high priest could go in there once a year. But when Jesus came, His atoning work on the cross paid the full price, not just once a year, but forever. And so, these two images we have in there, He combines these two images, which is kind of weird. Normally you have one image. He'll talk about an anchor, and we talk about an anchor, and in another passage we'll talk about the temple and the veil or the curtain. That's fine, but here, something different happens. He combines the two. And so, the anchor has a, one end of the anchor is where? It's anchored in the holiest of holies. And it's almost as if you have this picture of the cross in this holiest of holies, and Evan was nice enough to set this up for me with Ernest's help. And the cross stood there in the holiest of holies because the veil has been torn. Jesus has died for our sins on the cross. There's forgiveness for sinners. A complete sacrifice that secured our future. And so the image is this. This rope is now in the holiest of holies, behind the curtain, in the presence of God, anchored. And the other end of this is where? In your soul. That's what it says. Now the question is the anchor of my soul as secured in my heart as it is beyond the veil on the cross? Isn't that the question we have? So we know it's secured there. God secured it. Nothing can be done. But what happens on this side? So I know that Jesus has anchored one end of the rope. His atoning work on the cross did that. But what about here? Is on my side, is it just loose? Is it just loose? Or maybe you're holding on for dear life? You're holding on and you know, I have to hold on to this? No, that's not what we're seeing here. We see that God, in a miraculous and wonderful way, secures this in our souls. And it's almost like, you know, I'm going to tie it around me here. Don't worry, I did practice this. It's almost like it's tied like this. Just better. And you can't get it loose. It's in your soul, in your heart. And you don't have to hold on to it because God did this. God did this. He sacrificed on the cross. Perfect work. But He also did this part. Now, I thought this myself, but you can't trust me. I can't hold on to this. Neither can you. Only God can do that. A lot of people feel like, I'm just holding on, God. I'm just holding on. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm holding on. Christ's blood secured both ends of the rope. Do you hear that, my friend? Christ's blood secured both ends of the rope. Not just the one end, He secures this end. Massive, imagine you're on this massive boat and the anchor is thrown, they let go of the anchor and it's going down and it hooks on to a solid place. And then the skipper of the boat comes to you and says, "Listen here, would you mind holding on to this rope? And please don't let go." I would panic, eh? Because there's no way. There's some strong men here today, I can see. But there's no one in this room that can hold on to that rope. I can promise you that now. Because the force of the sea will just pull it out of your hand and you'll lose grip. Your soul is only as secure as both ends are secured. If Jesus only secured one end of the rope and left the other in my sinful, weak hands, there's no security. If it was up to me to hold on to that rope, I would never make it. Praise God that the anchor of my soul is fastened as firmly in my soul as it is hooked on the cross. Securely. You not holding on to God, God is holding on to you. And I'm going to get to the holding on part, just in your part of this in a while. But I want you to know, salvation is God's work in your heart and in your soul. And once he does that work in your heart, it's secure, it's anchored, it's fastened forever, and therefore there's hope. Therefore you don't have to panic. Therefore you don't have to worry about the future or even today, because Jesus is my anchor. I hold on to him because he's the one holding on to me. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. God will circumcise your heart. It's God that does the miracle of salvation in our hearts. He makes it happen. Ezekiel 11:19. And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. God does that. Hebrews 13:20. We're going to get there now. There's hope for you because God has secured your salvation. Now maybe you sit here today and you wonder, am I saved? Am I a believer? How do I know? Because you know, you get the four spiritual laws, you get EE, you get so many other booklets. I've done EE, but I haven't done the four spiritual laws. Am I not saved then? Did I do it properly? Did I pray the right prayer? Should I pray more now? How do you know? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So my friend, the Word of God tells us that if we confess our sins and we surrender our lives to Jesus, and we choose to follow him instead of ourselves, and he saves us. He saves us. And in that moment, one end of that rope is secured in your heart and in my heart. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything. Do you see that? Equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. How do we do that? How do we do what's pleasing in his sight? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, God is the one through Jesus. How are we able to grow? How does God equip us? Through Jesus. Now, for some of us, there's a very different reality. For some of us, we are anchored on this rope. Even for some Christians, I'm talking about Christians now. Christian, you are anchored on this rope. This rope is anchored. God has put it in your heart. It's not going anywhere. Nothing can happen to it. But as life happens, we sometimes put our trust in other things. You know, this is secure, but we're holding on to this. We're holding on to this because we don't want anything to happen to this. And this can be money. This can be a job. This can be safety. This can be many different things. Children. And what happens is if your hope is secured on this, and that happens, what happens to this side of the rope? Normally. Wait. This should fall in. Let me help you there. So if that's not secured, this will just drop. This is still secure. But what do you feel like when this happens? You feel like your world is coming down, don't you? Yes, it doesn't fall, yeah. It'll be funny. So for many of you, your hope is secured in your heart. God has saved you. You know it. But you're not holding on to God. You're not putting your trust in Him. You're holding on to other things. And bad things happen to you. And your world falls apart. And you think, what am I going to do? Well, remember that your hope is in Jesus. If your hope is in money, if your hope is in your children, if your hope is in South Africa, if your hope is in the economy, if your hope is in other people, you will always be disappointed, because when that falls apart, your world falls apart. Someone asked the other day, if bad things happen to me, and I prayed to God, please protect me on my way to work, and on my way to work, someone hijacks me or something bad happens, what now? Well, I say, well, my hope is still secured in Jesus. If your hope is in everything just going well and you never have problems, you're not going to understand and you're going to be confused and miserable. But if your hope is secured in Jesus, you say, Lord, please help me. I know you will never let go. That brings comfort to my heart. So don't hold on to other things. Even in this moment, I want you to think, What are you hoping for? What are you hoping in? Where is your hope placed? Maybe your hope is in a good education. I tell you now, your life will fall apart if your hope is not secured in Jesus. And when things don't work out, there's still hope because of Jesus. Now, what is this holding on about? He talks about holding on here in these verses. What does it mean? Well, the blood of Jesus did not buy us freedom from holding on. What the blood of Jesus bought was the wonderful enabling power to hold on. That's what Jesus did. Philippians 3:12, I love. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Some would differ if you listen to Paul sometimes. But I press on to make it my own. I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me His own. You see, because I am anchored in Jesus, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to have it all figured out. But I'm moving forward, I'm growing, and I'm learning by His grace. This is a heart thing. It's a heart work when God cements salvation in our hearts. But that heart work needs to go to mind work, where God is busy changing your mind and you're thinking about things that you should be thinking about. And from mind work, it goes into leg work, where something happens in your life. Because hope moves you. Isn't it? When you have no hope. Now, let's be honest with one another. Have you ever woken up and you're just depressed? Are you excited to get out of bed? Or is it, oh, this day, I've got this ahead of me. I'm not looking forward to this. Because you have no hope. But when you have hope, it moves us. It moves us to obey. It moves us to read. It moves us to pray. It moves us to trust. It moves us to get involved in God's work. Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, And you know, there are some of you here today. Just the way it is. If you sit here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, I want to tell you today that you are lost without hope. There's no hope for you in this life, except if you surrender your life to Jesus. And you can do that. Jesus didn't come to save perfect people because there's no such thing. He came for sinners, terrible sinners. So you can do that. But once you do that, he anchors his spirit, anchors that other side of that rope into our hearts. So there's hope. Hope causes us to go on. Don't give up. Don't stop moving forward. Look at Jesus. When things get tough, please remember this. When things get tough, look at Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at your problems. Look at him, because he's the good shepherd. He's the Messiah. He's your creator. Put our trust in him now, today, and forevermore. Jesus remains the same. So as you walk out of here today, be encouraged that God brings hope. Hope that cannot be extinguished, because he anchored that hope in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you humbled by your word. Lord, thank you that you have done something in our lives that we could never do for ourselves. That you have anchored one end of that rope in the holiest of holies, in Jesus Christ. That he's holding on that side, Lord. But also thank you that he's anchored the other side of that rope to our souls, to our hearts. And that nothing can ever plug us from your hands, Lord. Nothing can loosen that bond that we have with you. Lord, when doubt sets in, help us to stand firm and to trust and believe that you are telling the truth, that you have confirmed this with the oath. Thank you for the promise. Help us to be patient, Lord. Help us, even if it takes time, Lord, to trust. Forgive us, Lord, forgive us for holding on to other things, for placing our hope in other things. And when that falls through or where that goes bad, Lord, our world feels like it's falling apart. Help us to hold on to you, Lord. And to know we can only do that because you are always, always, always holding on to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.